Latter-day Saints Home Educators is pleased to bring you this audio presentation, recorded live during the May 2008 Youth Education Conference held in Virginia Beach, Virginia.
We've been listening to part of the conference you've been having. It's been fascinating watching you participate in some of the games. It is really funny watching somebody and not having the slightest idea what game you're playing. And it's it reminded me of being over in Israel. And when we are traveling over there, and we stop in the Valley of Elah. And this is where you have the story of David and Goliath. And we like to pretend like, you know, we're senior members of society and we want to kind of reminisce. So we get somebody that's on our bus that's very big and somebody on the bus that's very small. And we have this side of the bus are Philistines and this side of the bus are Israelites. And we stop the bus. We all get out to the side of the road. We walk across the little where the stream was, five stones, you know. And David and Goliath are going to be fighting. And we have the Philistines, we're challenging you. And we have little David, we're challenging you. And we take our part, rah, rah. Can you imagine a busload of senior citizens doing this? And what it looks like? Oh, we had a busload there just almost 6 months ago. I think I was the youngest on the tour. And I came off Noah's Ark on crutches, so you know how old everybody was. And we, David was a short little guy, and he was at least, you know, about 70 years of age, and he's going to be the David, and this great big fellow that is as big this way as he is this way is going to be Goliath. Visualize now 50 people, all senior citizens, doing this play. What would you react like? I mean, you know that it's in the valley. But when we got there, the vineyards that were all there were run by and taken care of by a bunch of people from Thailand. Okay? And the people from Thailand knew nothing about the Bible. They knew nothing about David and Goliath. And when we stopped there, our guide went and talked to him to get us permission to be able to go out into the field. And so while we're going out in the field and we're doing all this, I'm noticing these little guys are standing up and looking over the grape vineyards and watching us like it was really funny as they're, you know, big eye watching us, you know. And when we get done, we get on the bus and away we go. And I said to the guide, I said, Dr. Gannat, they were looking at us strange. What did you tell them? Okay? Now, you to appreciate this, you got to visualize, you guys were running back across over here, doing all kinds of games, all kind of point. We don't have the slightest idea what you were doing. And sometimes you looked fairly strange. I may agree, you looked a little bit strange at times. 50 senior citizens out in this field playing David and Goliath, and when Goliath falls down and all the Philistines run and you've got all the Israelis trying to catch, you know, visualize senior citizens. He said, well, I knew they didn't understand David and Goliath, and so there's no reason to explain to them that we got you here reenacting David and Goliath. So I just told him that it was a group of senior citizens from the local mental hospital on a field trip. I just hooted. I can imagine why they were looking up, watching all these people from the mental hospital on a field trip. I thought he was kidding. And I got back to Jerusalem, and I got a telephone call. We heard about what your guy said. I said, how did you hear that? It's all over Israel. Everyone heard about it. Anyway, it was fun watching you out there as you were exercising. Hey, we're talking about who you are. Anybody wondered who you are? How many looked in the mirror this morning and looked at yourself in the mirror and said, "Nana"? Any of you did that? When the Israelites were out in the desert, and boy, I tell you, it is desert over there. We were over there in the sandstorm, and they had a snow plow. Anybody in places where you've seen snow? Anybody seen snow? Yeah, that's that white stuff that drops. Sky dandruff, you know. And they had a snow plow plowing the sand drifts off the freeway so we could get our bus going on. But anyway, when Moses is over there and they had 3 million people that they're leading across into the desert areas, the manna was falling from heaven. They had no idea what it was. So they looked at it and they said, "What is this?" And the word in Hebrew for "what is this" is manna. So, ladies, you know when you look in the mirror, it's, "Woo, man, I can't wait till tomorrow." You get better looking every day. But when a guy looks in the mirror in the morning, it's manna. See, that's where mankind comes on. "Manna, what is this? Oh, well," and off he goes, see. That's where the manna routine comes from. But my lecture today for you is manna. Who are you? I hear the various people, and I've read about you, and I hear what the prophets are saying, and they said, "You are a chosen generation." I say, "Yeah? Yeah? To do what? To do what?" It makes a big difference to do what. I would like to make some recommendations. How many would like to be part of the chosen generation? Raise your hand. All right. If that, leave them up. I'm going to see how many people are going to put them down. If the chosen generation means you were chosen for all of you to get special polio shots, leave your hand up. If you don't want a polio shot, put your hand down. Huh? What if you were chosen to run out in the front of a semi? How many would like to? Oh, there you go. Isn't that funny? Look how many people would love that rundown feeling. Okay, hands down. We got some of your neighbors are saying, "Please put your hand down. It's the end of the day." Everybody raise your hand, you know. Manna. What is this? We've been running on the beach too long. But it's very important for you to understand from the Lord's point of view, because He's the one that called you the chosen generation. And a lot of times I'm persuaded that you don't believe it. I think that many of the times you don't believe you are chosen at all to be anything special. And as I've had an opportunity to meet with young people, not only across America, but all over the world, I find many of them who do not believe the Lord, when the Lord said, "I have selected some of you to be a chosen generation." So I would like you to put at the top of your page, the three of you that will be taking notes. No, there'll be more than that. Yeah, we got four, see, right there. Okay. Those of you that are taking notes, put across the top of your page, "I am one of the chosen." I am one of the chosen. Those of you who are at this conference are the chosen. You really are. And not all the young people of the world are. I'd love to put you in my suitcase and take you to some of the places that I've been in this last 30 days and let you see the difference of what you are chosen to do and those that have not been chosen. And just have an opportunity for you to see how wonderful you really are. In order to be chosen, write down number one. To be chosen I had to earn it. Would you put that down? To be chosen, you have to earn it. The Lord gave a wonderful revelation to the prophet Joseph Smith when he explained some things that you will learn more of as you advance in years. Some of you here have been youth for a few years, and some of us have been youth for more years. I've been a youth for a lot of years. In fact, I, one time, some years before my mama passed away, and somebody says, "Where were you raised?" And I says, "I was raised in Brigham City." She said, "Let me correct you." She says, "You never did grow up. You just got older." So now I tell people I got older in certain place, you know. I didn't grow up, I started growing out. That's the difference. But as you had to earn it. And the Lord said that there was a law decreed before the foundations of this world upon which all blessings are predicated. And in order to obtain any particular blessing, it's because of your obedience to the law upon which it is predicated. I want you to know to be chosen as you are chosen was something you had to earn. Did you ever wonder how long it took you to do it? How many know how long an eternity is? Anybody know how long an eternity is? How long is it?
Forever.
No, it isn't. Can you imagine that? It says the Lord is the same today, tomorrow, from eternity throughout all eternities. How long's an eternity? You got to have starting and end in order to have it continue. We won't go into all of it, but as far as we can tell, how long is an hour? 60 minutes. How long is a week? 7 days. How long is a millennium? 1,000 years. What if I told you that from every research and indication, an eternity is 2,555,000,000 years? What if you have been working 2,555,000,000 years to earn what you're going to be doing over the next few years? Would that change your mind as to how important you are? You say, "I'm a chosen generation. I just happened to get here." You didn't happen to get here. You earned it. And now you're chosen. Chosen to do what? Number two, write down. Since I am chosen by God, and underline deity, underline the word God. Because the first thing you got to have in your mind is be who you were chosen by. Because I was chosen by God, my mission must be very special. But chosen to do what? So here recently, I asked one of the general authorities, who is an apostle, I said to him, "What does it mean for the young people to be a chosen generation? Chosen to do what?" That's where you put down number three. I have been chosen for the following reasons to do the following things. I have been chosen for the following reasons to do the following things. And under that number, you're going to write, I have earned the right through obedience. I have earned this right by obedience to the laws of God. Now I know that when we are sitting there, as many of you are, in your younger and more tender years, The things that I'm now going to be talking to you about are going to be harder for you to understand now than you'll be able to understand in just a few years. But I want you to know that we are going through a very, very interesting period of time on this earth. Just like it's the fullness of times for the righteous, it is the fullness of times for evil. I know that you are facing the greatest challenges of evil that has ever been placed on the earth. I'm aware, as you are, that you're surrounded by everything from Sodom and Gomorrah to the evils of the time of Noah. And according to the president of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles, it's going to get worse. And you're going to have Lucifer is going to be better organized, better structured, and better prepared to do evil and reign with blood and horror on this earth than at any other time in the history of it. For he knows that his time is limited and is surely going to come to pass when he will be bound, will have no influence on the people. Because of your obedience to your callings. You will be the ones that will bind him. Because of your magnificent strength. I would have never guessed when I was your age the kinds of evils that would be thrown at you. But I'm fully aware, not fully aware, that's an appropriate statement, but I'm much aware of that which has been thrown at you and some of that that's being planned to be thrown at you. And I used to take our young people to one of the major cities of Europe to spend a day touring in Europe. I had to stop. Because it was so vulgar and filthy and explicit. And evil was demonstrated so often on billboards in different places. I did not feel comfortable letting the tender eyes of our wonderful young people even behold it. Now I'm not telling you anything you don't know. And therefore I'm not saying anything that shouldn't be told. The prophets have warned us. The Lord told us it would happen and said, even like it was in the time of Noah, so shall it be in your time. The Savior said that himself. Knowing that, how bad it would be, what it would be like, our Heavenly Father knew that in order to accomplish what needs to be accomplished in the fullness of the gospel of Christ, he would have to send to the earth the greatest group of young people that has ever been sent to the earth as a group in the history of the 6,000 years we've been on this earth. As a group, you are number one. The prophets have declared it. Your capacity to learn is magnificent. Holy cow, you guys are smart. Your ability to learn is just amazes me. It's an honor to even be in your presence. Your ability to do good things is beyond anything we could have comprehended. And before you were sent here, you were handpicked by your Heavenly Father and your elder brother Jesus Christ and a number of his assistants over there. You were handpicked and personally trained to come now because you can handle Lucifer where many other generations could not. Okay? So stay with me or you're going to miss what I've been praying over and helping, wanting to help you grasp who you are. For if we can help you grasp who you are, what's going to be accomplished by your generation is monumental. But you had to be trained to be able to resist Lucifer's greatest temptations. And sometimes some of you have missed that concept. And so I hear sometimes saying, well, Brother Kimber, you just don't understand what it's like nowadays. We have so many temptations, we just can't resist them all. Nonsense, that's stupid. That's calling your Heavenly Father an idiot. And that would be so blasphemous that if I did that, I'd be afraid of being struck down. Your Heavenly Father did not select you and send you here feeling like Lucifer was going to whip you. I don't know why you're here. You're here because your majesty, your magnitude, how fantastic you are. But you don't know it yet. Some of you got pretty good hints of it, but you don't know it yet. But you will. Now here are some of the things you are called and assigned to do according to those who God has called to teach us these things, who are His general authority. The number one thing you will need to do is you are chosen to bring Heavenly Father's children onto the earth. You are chosen to be parents. Will you put that down? You are chosen to be partners with your Heavenly Father in populating the earth during the great ending of our celestial existence of the earth and into our terrestrial existence. Did you know that some of your children and grandchildren will be living in a terrestrial earth, not a celestial one? Fascinating. But you will be part of Heavenly Father's great assignment of bringing some of His choicest, most magnificent partners of yours from the pre-existence down to the earth to be part of the great armies of God that defeats Lucifer. Because you've been selected to do that, Lucifer will do everything he possibly can to make you unworthy to do it, or convinced you're not to do it, or try to get you to postpone doing it because, quote, you can't have more than one child or shouldn't have, or all kind of philosophies that somehow we're going to run out of natural resources if every family has more than two children, or the global warming is going to be taking over and that the Lord doesn't know what He's doing in the creations. There's fascinating things going on. But Lucifer's going to do everything he possibly can do to keep you from being worthy parents. Therefore, my young friends, you be obedient to the commitments of moral chastity and decency. You be morally clean, physically and mentally, and stay that way. Do not yield to the temptations of doing evil things. You will not be able to fulfill your chosen assignment if you get hooked on pornography. There's so many things addictive going around today, I'm even afraid that some people might get hooked on phonics, but we don't want to have that one, huh? But Lucifer wants to get you trapped in traps to prevent you from being on the winning team. Don't let it happen. You stay morally clean, mentally and physically. You young ladies, listen carefully. You're going to want to have one day, if not one of the young men in this room, one like them, to be an eternal companion. And you may one day be sitting holding a little baby who may be very, very ill, wanting a righteous husband to give a blessing. And in order for that husband of yours to give a blessing, he will need to take that baby in his arms and he will need to listen into the greatest recesses of his mind to get permission from the Spirit of the Holy Ghost to be able to command that baby to get well. And if in the process of giving the blessing to that little baby of yours, if he's looking into the recesses of his mind and sees immoral behavior, pornography, or evil in his mind, the blessing will stop and cease, and he will not be able to then give the blessing. Every priesthood holder that is going to be giving blessings of our Heavenly Father and have it be able to have effect must have a clean mind. You must let virtue garnish your thoughts unceasingly. Girls, you honor these young men. So you dress and groom and behave so that there is never a time that you are an instrument of Lucifer in allowing his young mind to be anything but virtuous. You protect these young priesthood holders. Because if you dress and groom and behave and act in a way that causes young men not to allow their virtuous minds to remain virtuous, I'm here to tell you, the economy of heaven will not allow you to receive blessings in the future if you don't repent of that. The Lord said in the 121st section, let virtue garnish thy thoughts unceasingly, then thy confidence will wax strong before the Lord. And when you've got that little baby in your arms, and you've handed that little baby to that priesthood holder, that hubby, and he wants to give a blessing there, you're going to want to have somebody that has confidence before the Lord, I guarantee it. And so whenever you are tempted to dress in some way different than the Lord would have you dress, you remember, you have a responsibility to these priesthood holders so that their minds can remain clean, virtuous, and pure. And you young men, you've got the God-given responsibility to protect these young queens from every aspect of evil and indecency. You are their protector and provider. You must never say anything rude or crude or vile or filthy at any time, especially in their presence. They are queens. You must treat them that way. Act that way. Make sure that when there is a door to be opened, you honor them as a queen. When there's a time for you to be in a chow hall, you make sure they eat first. You make sure that you treat them as queens, for they are indeed queens. And the time is going to come, you're going to be on your knees thanking your Heavenly Father that He has given you an opportunity to be married to one of His queens. You treat them with the greatest of respect. Never, ever, ever treat them with anything but the greatest of honor and respect. For they're the finest daughters of God that's ever been placed on the earth. Now those things will be in your great blessing if you'll honor them. And then together you'll be able to enter into the appropriate buildings and with the appropriate authority be able to kneel at the altars and be joined as an eternal family and be part of the great, great kingdom that will take this entire earth back closer to Kolob. Your number one mission of what you're chosen to do is that. Be worthy moms and dads. Number two, you were chosen to build the kingdom. Building the kingdom of God is a very, very important thing to do. Every young man needs to serve a mission for his church. Every young man. I gave a presentation to a congregation, and a gentleman came up, and he said, "I'm not a Mormon." I said, "Okay, how are you today?" He says, "Well, you said I'm supposed to go on a mission." I said, "Okay. Well, they don't have missions in our church." I said, "They do too. I know your pastor. Now you go see your pastor and tell him that you want to go out on a mission for 2 years. And go serve your Heavenly Father in your particular denomination for 2 years." He says, "I can do that?" I said, "You need to do it. That's your tithing, 10% of your 20 years. Go out for two." He went out for two. While he's out there, he met a couple of missionaries, got converted, joined the church. He's a fine young man now. Now, young men, listen. Young ladies, you can listen if you want to, but remember, if between now and when you're 21, you get a better offer, you take the better offer. If you're not, then you go on a mission. But otherwise, okay? Now, young man, the prophet of God, the one that happened to have married my wife and I, prophesied of your time. His name was Spencer W. Kimball. You won't remember him. You will remember of him, but you won't remember him. But I want you to know that when I knelt at that altar at his, when he was standing there pronouncing that blessing over my wife and I, that short little man was a tall giant to me, still is. And he talked about you young men being called upon to start baptizing tens, fifties, hundreds, and thousands on your missions. Between now and your mission, you need to read the Book of Mormon a minimum of 30 times. Now, don't tell me that's impossible, because I know how fast you can do it. I've had readathons when we read the Book of Mormon in less than 48 hours. I don't care how old you are. I don't care if you have your mission calls. You can read the Book of Mormon. You read the Book of Mormon 30 times minimum. I had a young man that's just coming back the next few weeks from Canada, a mission. And when I was with him and I challenged him for 32 times, one of the general authorities were with me and said, "David, I want you to know the Lord has a special mission for you to do, and before you are able to do it, you need to read the Book of Mormon 80 times. He says, "I'm 14 now, I'm going to read the Book of Mormon 80 times. And this great general authority said, "One at a time." And when David left for his mission, he had read the Book of Mormon 80 times. He's coming back now a legend. He completely changed the mission. He set standards that missionaries will be following for years. You need to be prepared. And Lucifer's going to try to get you to do everything from getting hooked on television to hooked on iPods to be hooked on all other kinds of electronics to rob you of the time that you can spend in preparing for your missions. And you young ladies, you likewise need to make sure the Book of Mormon is your daily reading habit of a minimum of 20 minutes a day. If you start at age 12, read the Book of Mormon 20 minutes a day. By the time you're 19, you have gone through the Book of Mormon 30 times. Make that part of it. Why? Because you've got to build the kingdom. Number three, you are chosen to be the leaders in every field of science, business, engineering, exploration, every field of learning. You are selected to be the leaders. There are some of you here that will be called upon to help build cities called the cities of Zion. You'll be able to go live in them. You'll be able to see great miracles happen. Some here will have power over the elements themselves. You'll be able to speak and command fire to come from the heavens. And I listened to a wonderful member of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles who said, "Tell the young people, they're the generation that will see visions, not a vision, many visions." You will have dreams and see visions. You will have interpretations given to you. You will be given the gift to speak in tongues. And some of you young men will be given the authority to cure every conceivable disease on the earth by power of the priesthood. And you young ladies, some of you, when you will see some people who will abandon their little children for fear of the diseases they are carrying, you'll have the power to take these little ones in your arm, cradle them, raise them up, see them to be healed, and you will have no effect of the sickness around. I wished with all my heart I could convey to you how fantastic you are. I would love to have another 30 minutes and tell you more of what you were chosen. But let me tell you how you finish this story. You get with your fathers. If they're not able to, you get with your home teachers or your bishop. And after you have fasted a minimum of 24 hours, you ask them to lay their hands upon your head and pronounce upon you the blessings of heaven. And finish the Paul Harvey version of my talk, and for you to get the rest of the story. Just 6 weeks ago, I had my hands on a wonderful lady's head giving her a blessing. Her husband was assisting me. As I was pronouncing the blessing, the Spirit whispered and said, "That's all you can give. Tell this man he's to go home, lays hands upon the head of his wife, and finish this blessing." Each of you should be receiving at least every 6 months. I would recommend quarterly. An interview from your worthy priesthood holder in your line, and let them put their hands on your head and give you additional instructions for the next few months. For I promise you, if you will do that and live worthy to those blessings, one day from this room will come some of the greatest general authorities in the church. And from this room will become some of the greatest sisters of the Relief Society boards, and some of the finest leaders in education, in medicine, and all the very aspects of learning. You are not called to fit in. If you get nothing out of this talk other than that today, please, and if you give them, can I have 3 minutes? A lot of times the kids will say, "I want to fit in." Nonsense, you're not to fit in. You are to lead out. You are to raise up the generations. I was in Shawnee Mission, Kansas with over 400 young people, non-LDS. These 400 young people were talking about maintaining a commitment. They will be morally clean. They will give to their companions at their wedding. The commitment of pure morality. They will not be on drugs. All these things they were committing verbally to participate. And I said, "What is it that you are looking for then?" Do you know what they said? "Leaders we can follow." The only leaders that many have now are sports figures and different ones. Many, not all, but many who are having a hard time morally and in different ways. We don't have enough great leaders. You are the leaders. Don't worry about fitting in. Fit above and bring others up to you. For the Lord loves you. I have prayed over your generation many, many, many times. I love you. And you'll say, "How is that possible?" I don't know. When I was your age and people stand up and said that they loved me, I many times would say, how is that possible? I'm here to tell you, I stand before you today and I feel that love and the honor. It's an honor to be in your presence. You are magnificent. You are the chosen generation. Don't let Lucifer stop that selection process. I want to testify to you, I know God lives. May I testify to you that I know Jesus is the Christ? That He is not far from us and will soon be returning again, appearing to you in the leadership. Of these things I testify, thanking you for our time together, and do so even in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
LDS Home Educators is a nonprofit, all-volunteer organization dedicated to providing inspiration to homeschool families. We hope you enjoyed this recording. If you are interested in listening to more recordings or would like to participate in a future conference, please visit our website at ldshe.org.